Okay, I'd like to call the meeting of the Pacifica National Board to order at 8:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on November 28th, 2005. We can do a roll call.
You want me to go ahead and take roll, Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Marty Derlin? Steve Pierce?
Here.
LaVarne Williams?
Present.
William Walker? Fatty Sabah?
Here.
Sarv Randhawa?
Here.
Dave Adelson?
Here.
Alan Minsky? Julie Chavez Rodriguez?
Here.
Donna Warren? Here. Joe Montez? Deb Shafto? Wendy Troll, Teresa Allen, Patty Heffley,
present,
Ray LaForest,
here,
Bob Letterer,
here,
Michael Tariff Warren, Ambrose Lane,
here,
Mark Roberts, Rob Robinson, Serena Shakir.
Here.
Okay. 12 members present, Madam Chair.
Okay, great. Thanks. If we can now move to the approval of the agenda, and I hope everyone had received it. I sent it out last week immediately following our executive session call.
Teresa?
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Good.
Move approval.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Deb Schachter.
Hi, Deb.
Hi there. Sorry about being late. I thought it was 7:30. Sorry.
No problem. We're just in the approval of the agenda. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Julie, this is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Could you just read it out for the people listening on the stream?
Sure. We have roll call, approval of the agenda, elections committee motions, and then discussion of the January PNB meeting, including date and location. And then we'll be moving into executive session to discuss or to finish discussions on the KPFT lawsuit update, KPFA lawsuit update, director's inspection report, and the audit committee report.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Buddy?
May I make a friendly, if possible, a friendly amendment, that not just a January meeting date, but maybe like 2006 meeting date and location, tentative, and I know that would have to be approved in January when there are new members on the PNB. I understand that part.
London.
At the very least, take a look at like the whole year. Is that possible?
My only hesitation for doing that, Fadi, is that we are going to have a new board, and so I'd prefer to have them set the calendar for the rest of the year if we can pinpoint something in January, so whatever station is responsible, they can kind of organize around it. But I don't feel comfortable setting the agenda for the future PNB. I think the bylaws give good kind of time periods of when they should happen, and so if we can leave that to the new PNB, I think... That would be my preference.
Okay,
point of order, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
There's a motion on the table here, and we should, when we get to the PNB meeting, then we can discuss it then.
I'd like to add something to the agenda.
Yes, Deb?
The station's meetings are at least two or three of them are in a pretty bad state, and I think that I would like to bring up the subject of code of conduct so that we can send it on to the bylaw or to the governance committee.
Okay, where?
Well, it would be under new business later.
Can
it doesn't need to be in a private meeting, but
Madam Chair, can we add things in a teleconference meeting?
It's my understanding that we can't add additional business that wasn't previously noticed or stated.
So how does that get handled?
What we could do is put it on the agenda for our next teleconference meeting of the PNB.
Okay.
And that'll allow for then notice.
Okay. Can we do that then?
Sure. So just
thank
code
you.
Of conduct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Seb.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion about the agenda before moving forward?
This is Teresa. I'd like to say something.
Yes, Teresa?
We have a very challenging issue involving affiliates that we're going to need to address eventually. And that I'm assuming, for example, that the directors will be selected around January 3rd and 4th, and they will immediately get their tickets for the January PNB meeting. And the way the bylaws read right now, we don't select our affiliate directors until that first meeting. It would be nice if someone can help work through this, that perhaps we could have the applications for the affiliate directors within that first week in January. As soon as the directors are selected, we could hold a telephone conference. As soon as we have the applications for the affiliate directors, if we could hold a telephone conference and select the two affiliate directors, then they could actually be seated with us.
At the January meeting?
Yes. I mean.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that's necessarily part of the discussion of the PNB meeting agenda item on here, or if we even need to have that as a specific agenda item, but maybe we can figure out a way to encourage that or to make that happen in talking with Steve and Marty.
Yes. Thank you, Madam
Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion on the agenda?
It's Patty.
Yeah, Patty?
I'd like to extend the election committee motion discussion to 35 minutes due to the fact that there are three motions. One, I would like to reverse the motions first and do the last one first, and 35 minutes in order that we can give it proper time. And we may not need all that time, but I would like to set that 35 minutes now.
Okay. Is there a second for the amendment?
I'll
second.
Second
that.
This is Wendy.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there further discussion on the agenda? Okay, hearing none, then I'm going to move to a vote on all pending questions, starting with
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, are we dealing... Also, the director inspection report of 20 minutes, I'd like to make that 30 minutes.
This is Teresa, I'll second that.
Okay. Do you propose cutting time from anything else?
Well, we did KPFA once already, so maybe we can jack a few minutes off of there.
Okay.
5 minutes or something.
Okay, so bring that down to 10. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the agenda? Okay, so the first amendment that we have. Patty, did you want to include both of those changes in one amendment?
That's fine.
Okay. So the first amendment that we have before us is to extend the election committee's motion to 35 minutes and the director's inspection report to 30 minutes. Are there any objections to doing that?
No.
Okay, hearing none. Hearing none. Then let's move to the approval of the agenda as amended. Are there any objections to approving the agenda as amended?
I can't see any.
Okay. Hearing none. Let's move to then the elections committee motions. And Wendy, were you going to...
Yeah, I'm... Can you guys hear me? I'm happy to present it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
So this is the one about the unpaid staff record keeping. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to read the resolution... And I know we've all received a lot of information about it, but here we go. This was passed by the Elections Committee of the National Board. All right, resolved, A, that the general managers of each Pacifica station shall maintain a roster updated monthly and retained for 12 months of the individuals who qualify as staff members under the bylaws criteria for stations with no unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit. Authority over sections of this unpaid staff roster may be delegated, but primary responsibility rests with the general manager. B, that the general managers of each Pacifica station with a recognized unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit shall maintain a roster updated monthly and retained for 12 months of the individuals who have qualified as staff members by that organization or unit and the basis of the qualifications in each case. Primary responsibility for the maintenance of this roster shall be assigned to an individual designated by the unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit, but the general manager may exercise authority to ensure its accuracy. C, a copy of each monthly roster will be sent to the PNB Elections Committee. D, one cause for which a manager may withdraw recognition of an unpaid staff organization or an unpaid staff collective bargaining unit would be the failure of the organization to establish and maintain membership that restrict its size to no more than 10% more individuals than would qualify as unpaid staff members under the bylaws criteria for stations with no such recognition. E, that the local and national election supervisors shall have access to the current and past membership rosters retained by general managers so that they may independently judge whether or not a staff election based on either current roster should be certified. General managers shall provide current and previous staff rosters to any appropriate LSB and or PNB committee upon its request, and shall identify the categorization of any member upon his or her request. F, that the fairness of the general managers in the exercise of their discretion in recognizing or withdrawing recognition from an unpaid staff organization or an unpaid staff collective bargaining unit shall be one factor in each general manager's periodic evaluation by the local station board. If I could just say, you know, the issue here is that we have Raymond, you're going to have to go away right now. All of a sudden, my son just decided he needs to play with me in the middle of this. Dude, hold on, okay? So the issue is that there's been no way to verify the authenticity of the list of staff members. We have three different designations in the bylaws over how that can be, three different criteria that different organizations use, and it has created a situation where the election supervisors can't be sure that they're certifying an election. And there's also other issues. You know, we need to know who our people are that are on the air. There's issues at one of the stations where some members that are on the air aren't members of that organization because, for whatever reason, they're not. It's wreaking havoc upon the election system, and already we've had threats of legal challenges over this, and it's basically all about knowing who we've got and who's voting, and that it's accurate. Okay.
Okay, is there any discussion on the motion?
Point of order. This is Bob.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Bob.
Yes, sections D and E of this motion are out of order because they violate Article 3, Section 1B of the bylaws, which includes language that specifically give collective bargaining units for unpaid staff the power to define their own members, and the wording reads, staff members shall be, and then there's a clause about paid staff, and then it says, or any member of a foundation's radio station unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit which has been recognized by station management. That's the end of the quote. And so what Section D does is to set a new standard for what defines an unpaid staff member of such an organization, and allows a general manager to penalize and even withdraw recognition of that organization if they don't meet this new restriction as to the number of members that they can have. So that violates this very clear definition in the bylaws, and Section F is following on that as far as the evaluation of how the general manager exercises that discretion. So that would also be out of order.
This is Patty.
Yeah, Patty.
That's in fact is really
not true. This basically is on the case of the elections of delegates to the foundation. And the in fact, existing agreements between management and unpaid staff do not grant rights for the election of delegates to governance, because it was all negotiated before democratization. And that's a separate right, which under the bylaws, the manager may grant or withdraw on the to their discretion. And that is based in our bylaws. Now, there is, I would, the 10% here that limits the size for delegate elections is a pertinent and important, because it's basically a paid staff protection clause. Because if the unpaid staff, say, you know, if staff gets a number of seats in government, and if you unfairly increase the size of the unpaid staff, you decrease the value of the votes of the paid staff. So this 10% discussion here is to protect the paid staff's value of their votes. And so this would only kick in when, if in fact it seemed like through over time of examining the paid staff membership that the manager should keep, if all of a sudden things looked, you know, like there was a huge increase of individuals that may, you know, were listeners a day ago or things like this, then this is when the general manager may withdraw recognition. Now, I would like to amend the, to say that one cause for which a general manager may withdraw recognition of an unpaid staff organization, unpaid staff bargaining unit, would be the failure of the organization to establish and maintain qualifications for membership that restrict its size. I would like to make that one cause for which a general manager may withdraw recognition on the record date for elections of an unpaid staff organization. And that would give the default to management to recognize the membership of the staff, the paid and unpaid staff of the radio station, for purposes of electing delegates, which has nothing, which is a different story, since the unpaid staff organizations have no language in their agreements. This would give this right of the general manager, who should be keeping the records of the staff for all the reasons Wendy mentioned. So I would like to amend that, may withdraw recognition on the record date for the elections, to be placed in that in Part D. And that way, that clarifies, because what it does is that it does not supersede all the other terms for an existing agreement with respect to the rights of these unpaid workers, just in this element where we need to keep our records straight for the delegates of the foundation to be elected. So that's my motion to amend, for one thing.
Okay, this is just more of a clarifying question on my part. Bob, does that deal with some of the bylaws issues that you had raised?
Not at all. It still is a flagrant violation of the bylaws that says that the whatever the membership is of the unpaid staff organization, that is who has the right to vote in delegate elections. It can't be tampered with by a motion of the board. That would take a bylaws amendment.
Julie, this is Ray.
Excuse me, but there are people that are not that are unpaid staff that aren't, that will not join your unpaid staff organization, and they're voting too. Are you going to stop people that don't belong to the unpaid staff organization but are recognized as unpaid workers in the station? Do you? That's your union agreement. That is not the bylaws that say who is an unpaid worker at the station.
Hello, Julie, this is Ray. I'd like people to be recognized before speaking, because I'd like a chance to say something also.
Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. I think that not only it doesn't answer specific points made by Bob about definition of membership for paid and unpaid staff in the bylaws, but I think also it is a restriction of members' rights. And although the amendment that Paddy just proposed seemed to narrow the restriction only to the moment of an election, I think this is the kind of restriction we're talking about that would require a vote of the membership. And I think that also would be illegal.
Madam Chair, is Sir?
Yeah, go ahead, Sir.
This resolution, it has about 5-6 parts on it, and I recommend that we take each part individually and take a look at it, which one we agreed, and if most of them we agree, if one or two items are left that we don't agree, then we can discuss them and maybe find for a resolution of that. So I'd like to make a motion to look at each one of these individually and work on that basis.
This is Teresa. I'll second that.
Okay. Julie?
Yes.
I would like to second Patty's amendment. We never got to do that.
Okay. Donna, do you have that for the record?
That Patty amended Section D?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if you can put Wendy as the second on that.
Okay.
And so, Sarv, your motion is to then divide each of these into their own separate motion?
Yes. And then take a look at it and see if we agree on it, and then we can move on with that.
Okay. And that was seconded by Teresa. Are there any objections to proceeding in that fashion? Okay, hearing none, then why don't we... Wendy, are you fine with us just moving down A, B, C, D, E?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Why don't we start with A then? Is there any discussion on motion A that's been brought forth by the Elections Committee? And if
could you read them out as we do each of them, Julie? It would be helpful.
Sure.
Hard
okay.
to keep track of all that.
All right. Wendy, do you want to read it? Or
yeah, I have it here.
Okay.
Resolved, A, that the general managers of each Pacifica station shall maintain a roster, updated monthly and retained for 12 months, of the individuals who qualify as staff members under the bylaws criteria for stations with no unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit. Authority over sections of this unpaid staff roster may be delegated, but primary responsibility rests with the general manager.
Point of clarification.
Yes, sir.
I think for the audience that are listening on the web, this has to do with a station that has no unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit. And there, the general manager exercises primary responsibility. For
ultimate this. Responsibility.
Ultimate responsibility. Yeah. So,
this is... I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This is Dave.
Yeah.
I have a small line of a question, and maybe I missed something. Are there some sort of objective criteria by which somebody can check to be sure that it's not capricious, the inclusion or exclusion of people?
If I could, I mean, I'm at a station with no unpaid staff organization, so, you know, the way it works is you know, people come and they sign in. They're supposed to keep track of their hours. Anybody who works, well, and I got to tell you this, I mean, at our station, it is not just people on the air. It is people who help produce programs. It's people who, one of our people ended up having to run a staff because he worked for 1,000,000 hours a month on the building. So anyway, yes, it's 30 hours in 3 months. If you work 30 hours in 3 months for the radio station, then you are an unpaid staff. Does that answer your question?
Well, I just wonder, you know, you say you sign in, and I just wanted to be sure that there's standard ways of doing that at all the stations so everybody agrees that
there's a standard method for tracking these things that anybody can look at.
Yeah, and they'll sign in, and they can go back to whoever is working with you to verify that. The supervisor, I don't know the answer. I'm sorry.
Julie?
I'd like an amendment that clarifies that.
Julie?
Was that Steve?
I just would like to say that I feel some frustration because I did have a question about that very matter, the extent to which the HR department at the foundation can provide some guidance on this. I just want to register my frustration that when I send an email to the national staff, I rarely get a response, and yet I know what folks on the LSB in Houston have for breakfast every day. I don't understand what the email communication problem is with the organization.
Thanks, Steve. Go ahead, sir.
I'm in agreement with this section here, except there's only one concern I have, and that is that monthly updating of everything on part of the organization. I wonder if that could be changed to bimonthly or quarterly, if that's amenable.
What did you
Madam
say, Star?
Just changing that. Updating monthly to updating quarterly.
I'll wake you early there, Wilbur.
Somebody needs to mute.
Yeah. One of the things that just kind of came to mind is, and I think this relates to what both Dave and Steve had mentioned, is finding out what policies are on the books for unpaid staff, and then seeing what we would need to take action on as a board that would still keep us within that understanding, but also satisfy some of the issues around the election.
This is Patty. The bylaws already say who is a member, staff member eligible to vote. It already says that. It's 3 months with 10 hours a month for 3 months. And, you know, it's up to the managers to keep these records as if the same as that we pay people to work, right?
I guess
so,
that wasn't the point of confusion, though, Patty. It's more the process for collection or for calculating then who has reached that threshold and keeping accurate records. And so if there isn't a uniform policy across the network where every station is doing that, in a way that, you know, that makes sense and is kind of network-wide, then, you know, it almost seems like we're kind of jumping steps here.
Julie?
But I apologize if I'm stepping out of my role as chair. I don't mean to comment on the merits of this. It's just more thinking from an organizational level. So, sorry about that. Wendy?
Well, I just want to say that we're the national board, and so we can make sure that this is all uniform. There's nobody else that can do it. I think that if you go to all of our stations, they actually have this policy anyway, except for maybe telling the board anyway. They all have this policy. It's just not necessarily kept up on. You know, we should all be keeping track of who our volunteers are anyway. We could possibly get grant funding that way.
Yeah.
And it's also incumbent upon the board to know who's on the radio representing our licenses, because we're the ones ultimately who are responsible for that. So anyway, I think that, I don't see really how anybody could have a problem with this part. It's only going to help everybody.
Judy, this is Ray.
Yeah, right.
I think the point that Sal was making is addressed to the logistics of it. For example, I don't know what if I address the station manager of WBAI, if she would feel that monthly. I mean, I understand the intention, but this is something that's reasonable to do it monthly. What is the advantage of doing monthly vis-a-vis quarterly, like Sal just mentioned? Is the result the same? We're just harassing them to ask them to do it every month? That's the question I have.
This is Patty.
Okay.
There was a discussion already. Carolyn Burden, the chair of the committee, called and spoke to all the managers across the station, spoke to all of them, and they did not feel that it was a problem. First of all, doing it quarterly, if someone starts in the middle of the quarter and then, you know, you don't get to the end of the quarter by the time the voting period comes, there could be all kinds of problems here that, you know, a person might not get recognized for the actual work that they did. Also, quarterly, it's harder to track, and since it is, the bylaws do state 10 hours a month for 3 months, they can work it out. It says here, authority over the sections of this roster may be delegated, but primary responsibility. They can figure out to have the department heads keep track of the people or something like that. The main thing here is that we need to know who is at our radio station, and since they are in the, you know, we're in the delegates do run the foundation and hold the licenses, we really have to be just as sure of the, who they are as the people that are listeners who make sure that they're paying, you know, that their paid membership, members of the foundation are voting too. It would be the same as if we didn't care, you know, who voted in the listener section. It's the same. In fact, this is more important because you have a 200 people or 100 people deciding one-fourth of the foundation, you know, and each station. So I don't know why, and it wasn't a problem. The monthly didn't seem to be a problem for the managers. So, I mean, if this is just simple. Can't we just, like, pass this and give the general managers the responsibility to know who's at the station and move to the next one, which might be more contentious? Or are we going to pick through every single one that's already been worked on for months in the election committee? The election committee worked on this for months with staff.
Ready? Okay.
Julie?
Yeah.
It's Rob.
Go ahead, Rob.
I support the intention of what this resolution is trying to do, but I do have concerns that are reflected by what David Adelson and Steve Pierce have said, and my concern is that when we first had the elections, there was no way of checking this. I still go into the station, and there is a sign-in sheet for volunteers. But as far as I can see, it's not monitored and it's not kept up. So you could look at the names of people that came in a year ago on, you know, at the top of the sheet. And all I'm concerned about is, and this goes to what Steve is saying and what Dave is saying, is we really need somebody in the national office to make sure that the station managers are following a uniform procedure on this so that we don't, in addition to everything else... I'm sorry, what was that?
Everything all right?
That was young Frisbee players at UCLA yelling. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought I was being abducted or something like that. So I really don't think that it does violence to what we're trying to do here to try to get some compliance with staff to make sure that these records are kept on a regular basis.
Julie, this is Dave.
LaVorn.
Yeah, Dave.
And LaVorn.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, this is better than what we've got now, and maybe we could just agree to ask the interim executive director to ask to arrange for a standardized process, ask Yolanda perhaps to arrange a standardized process and move forward.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, thanks, Dave. LaVorn?
I was just going to say, as Patty had mentioned that, Carolyn Burden had spoken to the general managers, and I think that this first part of this resolution here, I think is pretty simple, and we should just move forward on this. And that, you know, when people are on the air, they're signing a log sheet. So, you know, all of this, and certainly you would want to know, you know, who would come into your house on a monthly basis. So I think that to see who's on the air and to determine, because this also determines the liability of the foundation. And we need current records for that, particularly with some of the issues that we're going to discuss in executive session. So, you know, I think we should just move forward on this one. It's pretty simple, and to go ahead and pass this.
Okay, thanks, LaVorn. With that, is there any further discussion on the first motion? Because we still have four others, I think, that we need to get through in this time. time. Okay, if there's not...
This is Ray?
Yeah, Ray.
The understanding, the caveat is that this will be done with a request of the executive director that a uniform process be implemented.
I'm going to add that in there.
Yeah, that was a suggestion that was made.
I want that to be part of the notes, the understanding.
You can make a motion to amend it.
Okay.
So can it say...
I would do it. Just go and pass the motion.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Teresa. I would like to amend the motion to say and that we're asking the IED to implement a standardized procedure.
Okay. Is there a second for the amendment?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. So if there's no further discussion, let's go ahead and vote on all pending questions. The first is the amendment that was just brought forth by Teresa that would add in the language that the IED would request a standardized process for collection across the network. Are there any objections to the amendment?
Is that what it said, request a standardized process or make one?
Implement.
Implement. Sorry for that. Are there any objections? All right.
But implementing would assume that the process exists.
Maybe it does.
This is right.
The ED is going to make a standardized process and tell them all to do it.
Well, then they should say that then.
Donna, do you have the language that Teresa had suggested? Donna?
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I think what she said was ask the IED to implement a standardized procedure, and then you add it for collection across the network.
Okay, we don't need to add for collection across the network. So is that clear to everyone?
But the point I'm trying to make, this is Ray, is that it should say that the IED should design and then implement. That's what this point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I guess it's understood that if there's not one, then he'll have to create one.
He can ask the HR director. I'm sure he can figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, let's move forward with the vote then. Are there any objections to the amendment? Okay, hearing none, it's approved. Now if we can move to the main motion as amended. Are there any objections?
Madam Chair, when you say the main motion as amended, were you including Director Randhawa's quarterly update?
I don't think that was seconded.
That wasn't seconded.
Was not
that
seconded?
That was just a suggestion.
Okay, so I'll take that out. Okay, I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
No problem. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, are there any objections to the motion as amended? All right, hearing none, then let's move on to Motion B. Wendy, can you please read that?
Sure. Okay, so this applies to stations that do have unpaid staff organizing committees. That the general managers of each Pacifica station with a recognized unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit shall maintain a roster, updated monthly and retained for 12 months, of the individuals who have been qualified as staff members by that organization or unit and the basis of the qualification in each case. Primary responsibility for the maintenance of this roster shall be assigned to an individual designated by the unpaid staff organization or unpaid staff collective bargaining unit, but the general manager may exercise authority to ensure its accuracy. It's really the same thing that we were just talking about. And it just says that the general manager is the one who's responsible for being able to certify that list.
Okay, thanks. Is there any discussion around Motion B?
Julie, this is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Okay, well, for those board members who had time to read their email today, there was a letter from the five shop stewards at the Unpaid Staff Organizing Committee in WBAI, which is the recognized collective bargaining unit, and which, contrary to some incorrect information put out by the chair of the Elections Committee, is party to a signed contract in February of 2003, signed by the then general manager, Don Rojas. But in any case, their concern, as I understand it, which makes sense to me, is that this is putting a set of requirements on an unpaid staff organization or a bargaining unit for monthly maintenance of a roster, and which is, first of all, is a lot to ask of a group of unpaid people. And second of all, that the general manager, by giving him or her authority to ensure the accuracy of this list, it's really creating an impossible situation because it's, by definition, a union, a list of people who are members of a union. That's what the bylaws says. Whether we like the bylaws or not, that's what they say. So the manager is not in a direct position to verify that list. She or he can certainly verify the list of the people that they consider to be unpaid staff. That's a different issue. But I just think there's some real problems with the way this is written, even though the concept is fine, you know, in theory.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Teresa?
I'm a little bit confused, Bob. The unpaid, we're not concerned, let's say there's 5,000 members of a union, that the station would only be concerned with someone maintaining a list of those union members that had put in at least 10 hours a month for 3 months, but maintaining a list of those people that are putting in hours at the station. If the general manager can't take ultimate responsibility for maintaining that, I can't imagine who would. I mean, in our station, I would imagine it would be the membership person will actually keep track of that, but the one ultimately responsible would be the general manager. And you're saying that the general manager is incapable of doing that, or that it's somehow undermining the process for the general manager to be concerned about? I mean, the 5,000 members of the union are not just automatically members of our foundation. It's only those members of the union that are putting in volunteer time at the station, correct?
Can I answer, Julie?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Well, let me kind of untangle a couple different things that are perhaps confusing. This motion is directed to the process of certifying unpaid staff as voters in delegate elections. That's one issue, which, you know, we can talk about a process for that. Then
voters
there's a whole,
as staff.
I'm sorry?
Voters as staff, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole separate process, which every general manager should be dealing with, which, you know, the first part A that we just talked about addresses, which is the general managers need a list of who works at their station. That's separate from whether they also have voting rights. And all I'm saying here, and all the union is saying at WBAI, is that the bylaws delegate the responsibility for determining who is a member for voting purposes to the union itself, not to management. And the local and national election supervisor can and must verify that and go over it with the union, but management doesn't have a role in that. So it's just mixing up different roles. Management is totally welcome to maintain its own list of the people it considers to be staff, but that may or may not coincide perfectly with the definition under the bylaws that the union has been given the right to define. And let me also correct one mistake you made. The 30 hours for 3 months is the bylaws definition only for those stations that don't have a management-recognized collective bargaining unit. For those that do, it's whatever that bargaining unit has agreed with management. In the case of WBAI, it's very similar. It's 10 hours per month for the preceding 4 months or 20 hours for 2 months. So it's similar but not quite the same.
But are you saying, Madam Chair, may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you saying that it's impossible for the union to give that information on a monthly basis to the general manager? For example, I'm XYZ union, and we've had 10 people who have put in this time, and their names are such and such. What is so bad about them giving that information to the general manager every month? Or are you saying there's too many of those people to keep track of on a monthly basis?
Well, what I'm saying and what the union is saying is that this is a group of people who, to start with, are unpaid. So they put in, you know, whatever their 10, usually it's much more than the minimum, 10 hours a month to do programming or station operations, whatever they're doing. Then on top of that, to be involved in this record-keeping process is a lot to ask to maintain that, to update that monthly. But I think that the key point underlying all of this is that the unions, and it's not just at WBAI, it's also the unpaid staff organization at KPFA, have not been consulted and brought into the dialogue about what the National Board is proposing to impose upon them. And I think it should be the fundamental principle of how we operate, that we first consult with the people who would be affected by our policies and then set the policies. So I think it would be an error to rush into voting on this or any of the other later sections that affect the responsibilities of unpaid staff organizations tonight until they've been given formal input into the process at both stations.
Point of information?
Yes, sir.
Did the elections committee talk to, at any of the stations, to unpaid organizations, their leadership or unions? Hello?
This is Wendy.
I'm Patty.
This has been going on for 2 years now, and so did the elections committee go to USOC in New York and meet with them? Well, I seem to remember that one of our members did try to do that, and she was denied access to the meeting there. You guys have got to understand. I mean, I think it's interesting that during this conversation it has gone from being called unpaid staff collective bargaining unit, unpaid staff organization. Now all of a sudden we're referring to this as a union. I was out in the streets with all of you guys when you were cast out of the UEU, or when they changed unions and the new union would not allow unpaid staff into that union. I thought that was horrible, and I still do. But we do need to understand that this is not a union recognized by NLRB or anything like that, and so that needs to be supported. Bob says that that the general manager is very welcome to keep a list of who is their unpaid staff, but he's also saying that they are not, that list that the manager would keep is not the people who can vote. And so we need to really kind of get a grip on this. I happen to know a lot of people at BAI that won't join that union. They don't feel that it's fair. They don't feel they represent them. They feel they fail fake grievances, whatever, you know. But so therefore we have a whole bunch of people at this station who would not be qualified to vote by this rule, and we need to have a standard uniform thing, and we need to have our GMs, who we pay to do this stuff, be able, and our election supervisors, who we pay to say that there are fair and clear elections, be the ones to be able, they have to be able to check this list. So yeah, you can have one list, you can have some other list, but alright, I'm losing it here, but this is just, you know, all it is trying to have the GM be able to see and certify that who the list they're saying is the list is the people who should vote. And as Patty said, the fact that a quarter of our boards are staff means that it's huge. I mean, we've got a very small number of people electing those seats, and we need to know that they're at least qualified to vote and that everybody's getting a fair shake.
I'd like to get on the stack if there is one.
Me Patty, too. I was.
And Ray after.
Okay, I heard Steve, I heard Patty, I heard Ray. Who else?
Rob.
Rob?
Okay, well, what Wendy just said, it concerns me. That now it's become something different. It's become, if I understand the issue, the bylaws cover the issue of the cases where there are organizations representing unpaid staff. And what Wendy just said, she just expressed a concern about a particular situation where a particular organization representing unpaid staff is seen by some folks as not being the kind of organization they want to join, or something along those lines, which, you know, whether it's valid or not, it sounds like that's taking us into another whole direction, which I believe is what Bob was referring to when he said it was a violation of the bylaws. And this is something that I need clarification on before I can move further on it. The general principle of needing to have a stable list of people who are voting, I think, is pretty clear, and nobody has spoken out on that. But the political issue of folks who feel uncomfortable with one group of people or another, and the desire to change the rules to accommodate that, that to me is getting into another area that I don't want to go without some advice from somebody who's more acquainted with the bylaws and who can give us a legal opinion on what the impact of this resolution would be on the bylaws. I don't think we can change the bylaws with a vote of the directors.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Next we have Patty.
Right, we're not trying to change the bylaws. We're trying to bring this in agreement with the bylaws. If you understand, there's two issues here. These agreements with these unpaid staff organizing committees or unpaid staff bargaining units were agreements before democratization. They have no language in them as to who is allowed to vote or not. If this comes to what they are recognized by the unpaid staff organization, these members, but at the same time, you know, if the unpaid staff organization has, we can't, basically what we're saying is the general manager still has to be responsible whether there's a bargaining unit or not. And the problem like we had at BAI is a circular thing. You say you're in USOC. All you do is say, I'm a member of USOC, and you're automatically entered to be a USOC person. And then they say, well, you can't look because, you know, we're this group of people you can't see because we're protected under these secrecy law, you know, whatever your confidentiality of a bargaining unit is. So these rosters of unpaid staff can never be verified. They cannot verify our list. We cannot verify a list if we do not know if people are even doing what the unpaid, these bargaining units are saying that they have to do. And all you have to do is sign that you're a member and you become a member of the USOC. And I haven't seen anything where people actually were shown to actually have worked that period of time either. So there's never any kind of regulations that you can actually see. So it's a circular thing. I'm a member of the bargaining unit, therefore I get to vote. But what do I do? Well, you can't tell. We don't have to tell you because this is a bargaining unit and you don't have rights to know. So how do we do this? So this at least gives us an opportunity that every month the manager gets a list at the beginning, and then every month somebody marks who's worked and who didn't in order, you know, who dropped off and who got added. So at the end of this 12 months or when the time comes to vote, we have the manager can decide whether or not it's accurate or not. That's all, and I don't understand why no one has an amendment here to change it to something else. We're just arguing it away or what? I call a question on this.
Point of information, please.
Okay, yes, sir.
This is to Bob. Is there in the union contract that has been signed by Pacifica and the union, or the station and the union, that bars them from disclosing which member can vote and which can't?
Can I answer, Julie?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
No, there's no provision like that, and the union is not making that point. They're not asking to be shielded from public disclosure. They're talking about following the bylaws on working with the election supervisor to verify their list rather than necessarily giving a list of its own internal members to the general manager. Two different issues.
And what process, do you have anything, what process would that be?
With the election supervisor?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as the note that was sent from the shop stewards, and actually a statement that was made at our April PNB meeting, pointed out that there was a whole verification process of the names in the last election. The initial one of the statements that Ken Nash wrote was the initial and subsequent lists were posted at the station and emailed to all members, including public affairs and arts directors, prior to the deadline for questions as to their accuracy. And then he recounts a whole process in which people could challenge whether a person is legitimately a staff member or not. And there was a whole process to investigate the challenges, check with people who would be in a position to know whether the person had worked, and so on and so forth. So it's not true that these are unverified.
Well, how come they could not verify the list almost? And this is what's been the discussion. There's been people on the election committee meeting that election companies like the one we had before, it cannot be verified in this way.
Okay, hold on, Patty, because you had called the question and I didn't know.
Exactly.
I took a point of information from SARV, so we need to move to a vote on whether or not to end debate. Are there any objections to ending debate?
Yes,
I do.
Okay. All right, then let's move to a quick roll call vote.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you want to withdraw, Patty, your motion.
To call the question?
Yeah.
No, I'm. Okay. I think we can pass this. I think we need to have
okay. I didn't
people in charge
comment.
Here.
Right. I was just questioning. All right. Donna, are you ready?
Yeah. Marty.
This is to end debate.
To end debate. Marty. Steve.
Abstain.
Warren.
Yes.
William. Batty?
Batty says yes.
Sarv?
I'll pass.
Dave?
Abstain.
Alan?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Oh, Teresa Allen.
I'm sorry, Alan Minsky.
Oh.
Earth to Teresa.
It's okay, that's your name.
Yeah. Joe. Deb.
Ellen.
Deb, I'll come back to you. Wendy.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Yes.
Patty.
Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Ray?
No.
Bob?
No.
Michael Warren? Ambrose?
Abstain.
Mark? Rob?
No.
Serena?
No.
Coming back to the passes, which are SARS?
No.
And Deb, are you back? Okay, that's no vote for Deb.
Yes, no. I'm here. My mute, I thought, was off. It's on.
Okay, well, how do you vote? How do you vote?
Vote is yes.
Yes, okay. Thank you. One, two.
Did you hear that Alan Minsky just came on?
Seven. I'm sorry, Alan, are you there?
I am here now, but I have no idea what you're voting on.
Okay, so you want to pass on this vote?
I suppose I do, yes.
Okay.
I don't understand why people abstain from calling the question. It's really strange.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven yeses, and one, two, three, four, five noes, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Don't you need a two-thirds to close debate?
Okay.
I don't
yes.
think it passed.
No.